This is the Closet Chronicles. I am Yvonne Easley, founder and CEO of Love E Fashion and Style by Love E. This podcast is all about delving a little deeper into the fashion industry by talking with other fashion professionals as they share their story, their journey, give advice, and what they have coming up next. So we have a very special guest today. Welcome, Dr. Anna. How are you of Tribal Eyes?
Hi, Yvonne. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us today. Of course, tell people all about Tribal Eyes, how you got started, why did you start, and what Tribal Eyes is.
Awesome. So my name is Anna, founder, creative director of Tribal Eyes, like Yvonne said. I'm very excited to be here because Yvonne and I have been trying to get this done, but you know what? Too busy fashion professionals. So I appreciate you. Thank you for thinking of us and wanting to share my story. In 2020, I was trying to change my eyewear, and you know, I had gone into many of the big shops, and you know, I was conflicted because after going into the shop many times, you know, I really wanted to change my glasses. I had money to pay to change my glasses, but I just couldn't find sunglasses or eyeglasses that I felt fit my face. Mm-hmm. And I started doing research, like, who is making sunglasses for the black face?
Yes.
And I couldn't find anyone. And I was very perplexed. I couldn't believe that, you know, the percentage of people that look like me who wear glasses weren't really being thought about in the design process of eyewear.
Yes.
I went one step further to look for ethnic patterns, the way you have like lumberjack and tortoise shell. Those are like generic, you know, non-cultured designs. And I felt like the way we have, you know, ethnic prints in clothes, we should have in eyewear.
Yes.
But I also couldn't find. And hence, I really, you know, decided to really jump in, did my research, market research, seemed, you know, reasonable. And I really dived in, afraid. You know, people think that, you know, I had all my questions answered when I started, but I didn't. I really was very afraid because by profession, I'm a physician. I had never really done anything in this space.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I really was passionate about applying my understanding of the anatomy of the face, the structure of our faces.
Yes.
We, in the ethnic community with black facial features, we have higher cheekbones and wider nasal bridges that we can't just wear any glasses we see on the market. But we do that because that's what we see. And that's what we're really trying to, you know, to fill that gap. Also, there are others. There are those from the Mediterranean Sea, like the Lebanese. They have bulkier noses and, you know, high nasal bridges. The Asians from South Korea, Japan, and China, they also have wider nasal bridges. They have flat nasal bridges and high cheekbones, such that, you know, for all these people who are, you know, who don't have the typical thin, long nose, we really need a market for us. And that's the gap we're trying to fill.
I love it. So you saw it was an issue when you were trying it for your own face in 2020. You did research and figured out like, hey, I want to do this. I want to try to solve this pain point for people of color and black and brown faces. And like you said, other ethnicities where eyewear is not designed for them. Once you, you know, decided to get started, like what was your first step, or like, where did you figure out how to source the glasses or get samples made? Like, tell us that story.
So it's an interesting journey because, you know, people think of those things and then now go shopping for their manufacturers. I had met my manufacturer before.
Okay.
And this was interesting because I was in New York before the pandemic in 2019, actually, you know, I have eyeglasses and sunglasses and I shop for them separately. So the whole drama about starting the eyewear was me shopping for sunglasses, right?
Yes.
But let's track back to 2019, before the pandemic. In 2019, I had this fancy eyewear brand. I'm not really going to call the name, but I barely wore it 6 months and it broke. It was maybe $600 with prescription and everything.
Yes.
And of course, I was very upset. I was like, why should I spend this much? And, you know, it didn't really last that long.
Yes.
And it really didn't fit my face. I was also tired of shopping around. And I just said, you know what? I don't have time, you know, with little kids, I didn't have time to be going to the shop to go get my glass, you know, to go get the prescription, the eye test and all that. And I just said, you know what? I don't have time. I'm working next week. Let me just get what I find. So it wasn't something, a pair of glasses that I really loved. I just bought it because, you know, I was like, whatever, I'm tired of looking for something. So anyway, when that one broke, I had to tape it. I had to tape it for like the few days until I could get another one. So, I mean, that was a bit of an annoying process for me. So anyway, fast track, you know, I'm in New York. I'm moving around. They usually do an optical conference. And I kind of, you know, was walking around. And I saw, because I've always been an eyewear lover, I walked in and I met a certain manufacturer. But then I just bought, these were kind of generic. I bought two. One was really big and one was, you know, more nondescript, a bit professional. And I bought two of them. And, you know, I started wearing them once I got my prescription. I wore the one that was more subtle, more professional, you know, not too big, not really in your face, not that fashionable. And I would get compliments, but, you know, I didn't really notice the compliments. But the other one, I hadn't started wearing it because I felt it was too big. Okay. But every time I wore it, my husband would laugh like, oh, and my husband is very, like, subtle. Doesn't really like, you know, dressing over the top. But each time I wore it, I was like, oh, my God, these glasses are so fancy. But I wasn't even... I like to dress up, but when I'm going to work, I don't want to dress up too much. I hadn't started wearing that glasses. But let's fast track to the pandemic. During the pandemic, we started doing Zoom everything, Zoom meetings, Zoom parties. You know, I was raising, and some of my colleagues in the diaspora were trying to raise funds for locally made PPEs because we do a lot of importations and we couldn't import at that time with the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. So during that time, all, you know, I had TV interviews, I had Zoom parties, and I was wearing those big glasses because I wouldn't want to do like eye makeup. So I would wear the big ones. And oh my God, people weren't even asking me, oh, how are you? Are you well? Is your family well with the pandemic? You're working in the hospital. It was all like, oh my God, I love your glasses. Oh my God, I love your glasses. And that's really what started the process, such that even though they were saying it, now bring 2020 when I was trying to change my glasses, everything came together. And I thought, oh my God, this compliment, people say if I design glasses, they will buy them, you know. So it really, my community pushed me in addition to me having that pain point. And I reached out to my manufacturer and I said, hey, I bought these glasses from you guys. How will it, you know, how will it be if I try to edit the glasses or I design something? Can you make a small MOQs for me? I'm a small business. I want to test the market and see how I do. Yes. And oh my God, of course it sold out. So, and that began the process of really, you know, of now we have manufacturers in Asia and in Italy and Japan. So
I love it.
Yeah.
You're such a smart woman.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know that, you know, in business, that's being smart. I don't know, in any profession, really. I think just being a consistent, hardworking person, like showing up every day. So, you know, you want to do your homework. Maybe that's where being smart comes in. But I don't think it's only smart people who are successful. This is where I'm coming from. Yes. But really just, you know, saying, I'm going to do my homework and I'm not afraid to fail.
Yes.
It's those things. It's not just... Yeah. I think it's any of all those things and not just one thing. But thank you for the compliment.
No, of course. What do you feel like has been the biggest success thus far and then one of the biggest challenges? So like both ends of the spectrums, basically.
Let me talk about challenges first. That's a good question. Two good questions. Let me talk about challenges first. Challenges is I'm new in the fashion space. No matter how fashionable you are or you wear fashion items or you think you're fashionable, the fashion industry is like a different beast. So I think for me, and many people underestimate businesses when they're going, especially a business where you're not like born into, or a business where you haven't been in. Like I've been in the medical research field. You know, I have like network I've built over the years, you know. But I think being a non-person outside the fashion industry has slowed my growth. I mean, I've seen people who were former, like maybe... not former buyers, but maybe former merchandising officers or, you know, in the big retailers, or they worked in big retailers, or the new people, they work for magazines. They have the network. And I see them start something and they're moving like so fast. And, you know, I look at them, I'm like, oh, how I wish. But, you know, I also know that I bring strength with me from my industry. And it might be a slow growth, but we will get there. We will get there. So
what you consider slow don't seem that slow to me from what me knowing you and knowing when you started.
You're right. Again,
I mean, you have collab with Nordstrom's and places that to me, a lot of people who have been doing this longer still are people that have been doing this longer and they're just now getting to the same place you've gotten in less than 4 years.
You are right. And this is why, these are those pinch me moments where I say, hey, shut up. Like I have to smack myself and say, no, you know, there are moments where I actually think I'm growing faster than I can handle. And there are moments where I feel like, oh, I'm slower than, you know, I should be. And I think it's just being a type A personality. When you think about it, I've been in a profession where, you know, if I'm taking care of someone's family member, I have to ensure that I do the very best for them to be their very best when I'm discharging them, you know. So that's try for perfection. Of course, there's no, you know, I think of the Supreme Being as the perfect healer, and I'm just like a tool. But I also strive for perfection in every. I ensure that all loose ends are tied. When I'm sending someone home, I ensure that the medications are right and this is right and that is right to the best of my ability. So I think it's the same. And that's also a challenge, you know, when you think about it, because I come with this mindset that everything, but I've learned over the years that it's okay, you know, in fashion or in this space that I'm in, it's okay to not be perfect. Sometimes done is better than best is what I have learned. So I need to pinch myself and say, hey, no, you know, I've grown really fast. When I think of people who started way before me, sometimes I see we're on the same pace, or people who, you know, who started with me are not where I'm at. You know, of course I count my blessings. I really do. But, you know, there's always, you know, as a young business, there's always that strive to be, oh, I need to move fast. There's good and bad to that, but I'll end there. So that's one challenge I've had. I think another challenge really is, you know, another challenge I would say is being, you know, a diasporan, a first generation immigrant. And it's important to say it because, you know, I didn't do my high school here. I didn't do college here. Mm-hmm. You know, I did my master's here. So if you think about it, I started building my network in the country at the age of maybe late 20s, early 30s, compared to people who they have the whole network from middle school and high school and college. And you don't think about those things, but those are really the foundation of your community. So, you know, and if you think about it, it's hard to make friends when you're an adult. You know that, right? You know, it's more difficult. So I think that's another challenge. But, you know, I also always look at the positives and keep moving. Yes. So I think on to the next thing you asked me was
biggest success.
Okay, success. I mean, you know, I don't know that I should say that success. I there's this strive to be something and you're not there yet and you don't think you're successful yet. But if I were to, the way I look at my successes these days are, if I want to launch something, how did it do, you know? So that's how I would think of my success. But I think in general, as a brand, you know, we have gained brand awareness. We're slowly gaining brand awareness based on when you think of things like magazines, editorials, TV, word of mouth. Like some people see my glasses on the street and say, oh, that's tribal eyes. That for me is success. Yes. That for me is success, because we can talk about success in terms of revenue and, you know, where are we, or what shelves are we, what big retailers are we, and, you know, how much do we have when we balance, you know, our income sheets and all that. But success for me is really that brand recognition where someone sees our product and say, oh, yeah, even without thinking, that's tribalized, or guessing, oh, this I think is tribalized, and they send me a message. And they say, is this tribalized? So that for me, I think is success so far.
I love that. I think you gave good, thorough answers to those questions. And I think you're doing really well, like I said, for your business. I think sometimes as entrepreneurs, we're so focused on getting to the next goal and accomplishing the next thing, we don't celebrate our wins. big or small.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, in actually last fall of 2023, we had a pop-up. I think it was before our pop-up at Bloomingdale's, the Atlanta Fashion Week Bloomingdale's collabo. And as I was preparing publications or paper products like flyers for the event, somewhat overwhelmed, like, oh, I had just finished Nordstrom. So of course, when you do a big event like Nordstrom, you're mostly depleted because people really shopped and it
Yes.
was amazing. But then
It was
what
a
happened
great
is you're like,
event.
oh, it really was. And I'm so thankful to our community. So as we're trying to refill that, then Bloomingdale comes and we're like, of course, oh my God, yes, thank you. But then in all of that, ruckus and trying to get, our support team together, I was feeling a bit overwhelmed and I was like, oh my God, what have we done? And I knew what we had done, but I just thought it was just a split moment where I was thinking, hey, relax, this is where you are. What are the things you've done? And I actually came with, and I'm sure you've seen it because you follow our page. I started putting all the people, every single brand or event we've collaborated with, and I came up with a flyer. We filled the whole page. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is how much we've done since we started. And even in New York at the pop-up, so I was like, oh my God, you've been in all these places. And I was like, yeah, it doesn't really feel like that as an entrepreneur, especially an emerging young business. You're always, to your point, Ivonia, you're always trying to do the next thing, that we don't really sit and count our blessings, but they are blessings that we've enjoyed over the years. And I think that was an important critical point for me to really count my blessings. So I have that flyer and I will continue to keep it to remind me of of the journey
How
we've
far
had
you
so far.
come? I love that. What do you feel like is one of the most important lessons you've learned thus far?
Lessons, Lessons. I will say lessons. I will say that, Lessons. I will say it's good to have to keep to keep I would say lessons is good to have multiple manufacturers. And that's why I have multiple manufacturers, because I've had times where I have a big project and that my manufacturer who's been amazing and I've had no problem with, then something, oh, this is happening. Like, what? I have this big event and you're stuck, So I think you should kind of, plan for a rainy day. I've had a few encounters where, I feel like, oh my God, we have a big order and, oh, we have a big sale. And just when, I went on to do that, there's a big disappointment. But I will say that even though it's a big lesson, I think that it really, it enforces the importance of community building. And when we've had challenges like that, as stressful as I was at that time or anxious, I just sent an email or reached out to the community and say, hey, this is the challenge. And your community will support you. They have your back, as anxiety feeling as it may be, always kind of just reach out and say, hey, this is where we're at. Be honest. Like, we plan to do this and we wanted to do this, but this is the disappointment we're experiencing right now. And they will understand. Very many, almost everyone. I don't remember anyone being like upset or anything.
I
As long
love
as you keep the
that.
communication lines open. So I think that's a
A
lesson that we've
communication
learned.
and a backup for the backup.
A back, honey. Plan A, B, C, D. Yeah, almost always have a backup.
Yes. I love that. What is one of your favorite productivity hacks as an entrepreneur?
Productivity hacks. I will say that I'm good at multitasking, although I don't like to use that term multitasking because, I feel as I've grown older, I feel like the quality of your work reduces when you multitask too much. I think you just have to remember what your threshold is. But one of my productivity hacks really is, taking time off intentionally. I know that's not what you want to hear, but taking
No,
time
I
off
think that's a
intentionally.
good answer. You do have to bet. Somebody just invited me to something today, and I was like, I'm not available because sometimes you get caught up saying yes to everything. You wear yourself out, you wear yourself down, and you have to really balance what you're doing. So I think that's
Yeah, and
what
taking time off, just, there are times where I'm just like, today I'm doing nothing, like nothing. And when I mean nothing, it extends from the business to like the children. I mean, I try, I have to, get people to school and all that, but it's like a weekend, I say, I'm not making like nothing, like go fix yourself breakfast. Like, no, because you they really can, but we, we're used to being a, when you're used to being a doer, you just feel like you have to do. And I have those days where I'm like, I'm doing nothing. Like, I'm doing nothing today. I just want to sleep and think of nothing. And those times are important, an important productivity hack, because after that, or in those times where you have, your brain to really think and do nothing, you become more productive with the things that you have to do moving forward. So I've enjoyed those product. Even when I travel, there are days sometimes if I have an event, or if I have a girls trip, I do a lot of girls trips because I'm the only girl in my house. But if I have a girl trip or something, conference, anything, meeting, I try to go like a day before, and that day is usually spent. I have nothing on the agenda. It's really just chilling.
I love that. I think it is important to balance, especially in this hustle culture or work all the time culture that we in. You can wear yourself out, which defeats the purpose of being able to keep going if you've wore yourself out. So I think that was a great productivity hack, is to make sure you don't forget about yourself in the process of doing all these things. What is advice that you would give to someone who was starting in the industry or trying to grow or scale?
I mean, in the fashion space, you mean like making a product? I will say that, remember that success is a journey. Remember that success is a journey, and it's not so much the end goal as the journey. So pace yourself. I will say pace yourself, pace yourself. It's, pace yourself and enjoy it. Enjoy what it, however frustrating a day might be. Yeah, I can
Anna,
hear
do you
you.
hear
Can you
me?
hear me?
I can now. I think it dropped for a second. Can you start the answer over? I'm
Sure,
sorry. I think it
sure.
dropped a second.
No problem. So I was saying that for someone who's starting on the journey, they should remember that success is a journey, not just a destination. Like, enjoy the process. Enjoy the rainy days. Enjoy the sunny days. Enjoy the process. It's a journey. Pace yourself. That's what I was saying.
I love it. I love it. That makes a lot of sense. Any other advice you would give as far as running the business side of being a creative?
Well, business advice, I will say, one, know your numbers. Know your numbers. Two, there's a book someone recommended to me. Now, I don't know if this will apply. This might not apply to someone who's in the service industry, like you, Ivonia, for example, who is, a stylist. But if you have a fashion product and you're trying to get into the fashion space with retailers and all that, there's a book that was recommended to me, The Fashion Designer Survival Guide: Start and Run Your Own Fashion Business. It's a book by Mary Geller. Mary Geller, Gehl, Har, and the foreword was by Diane von Furstenberg. It's Amazon. You can't miss it. The Fashion Designer Survival Guide. There's a mannequin in pink. You can't really miss it. That's supposed to be like a fashion Bible, and someone had suggested I, and anyone who I know, I who's kind of struggling or new in the space, I recommend this book to them. And I try to mentor. I've always been a mentor in the medical. I still mentor in the medical space because I'm now moving to full time. I'm now actually full time eyewear designer, part time physician. So I mentor young black pre-med students, and I'm also trying to mentor, people in the fashion space who are coming up, and
I
I
love
share
it.
the
I
book with
love it.
them.
And that kind of segues into the next question, which is what three books, movies, or podcasts would you recommend?
Movies, hello, Madam CJ Walker, for sure. Movies, Madam CJ Walker. I've watched that movie three times, and I watch it because it was interesting to see how how she navigated the challenges, especially navigating, I don't know if you've watched it, but especially navigating the lady who she wanted to really partner with. You know, I you know, a part of me was conflicted, like, oh, did she really steal the idea, you know? But in summary, I think that she was a good salesperson. Yes. And she wanted to help, you know, this lady who has started the hair product.
Yeah.
But the lady saw her as beneath her. And I think it's important. That part is important because as for me, for example, as nobody in the fashion space, sometimes I get that. I get people who look at me like, I'm sorry, who are you? What's the name of your brand? Like, yeah. We don't know who that is. Your name is so foreign. Who are you again? What kind of accent do you have? You know, I get that. I get people treat me that way. They might not do it obviously. They might say it in an email or, you know, you might get it, you know, as an undertone from their communication lines. So that is the lesson for me, you know. And then secondly, she was dogged. She really hustled and had a vision and stuck to the vision. So I like that about that. The movie, Madam C.J. Walker. Also, this book I've talked about is one, The Fashion Designer Survival Guide.
Yes.
Then there was a book by... There was a book by Virgil Abloh.
Okay.
That's like, I find inspiration in very weird places. So some people will see the book and be like, that girl is crazy. What's she talking about? But, you know, for me, I find inspiration in very, I go to places that are not noisy. That's what I will say. I don't try to follow the crowd. I kind of do my own thing. It's a small book. It's a collection of, let me see, book. It's a very small book. I forget the name. I've read it so much that the name has, I think, almost disappeared.
Small red book. But if they look up his name, they'll be able to find it.
Okay, so it's called Ablohisms. So his name, Virgil Abloh, ABLOH-ISMS. So it's Ablohisms. It's a really small book edited by Larry... Let's see what his name is. Larry Warsh. W-A-R-S-H. It's a small red book on Amazon. And I got the book. He was still alive at that time. I was so sure I would meet him one day. But unfortunately, you know, he'd passed. But
yes.
I think the thing about the book that I liked was that in the book, he talks about, you know, he's also someone like me who wasn't in the fashion space. But he was a very creative person. He studied architecture and did some art. And he talks about how he started, how he took polo t-shirts and, you know, repurposed polo, like Polo Ralph Lauren, and repurposed the shirts and sold them for, you know, hundreds of dollars and until he started creating his own. So for me, you know, that was something that inspired me a lot. And it gave me hope that, you know, even though I wasn't originally in the fashion space, you know, if I continue to be persistent, you know, as long as I applied my creativity, I would grow. And that's why I like the book. I take it with me everywhere.
Yes. I love that. I love that. And what is coming up next for Tribalize?
What is coming up next? Pop-ups. Pop-ups. We have a new line. The big thing really is we have a new line coming soon. It's going to be really awesome. It's for a certain demography. It's not, we make glasses for everyone, but it's an interesting twist. This new line is an interesting twist. It's something that is needed, something I'm passionate about, and everyone really is passionate about it. But, you know, if I say it, then it won't be as exciting when we launch, but I'm pretty excited about it. Yeah.
Well, of course, I'm going to tag you when this comes out so people can follow and sign up for information so they'll know when it comes out. Do you know what month is coming out?
It should be out by the summer.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. It should be out by the summer. Yeah.
So we will stay up to date on the next Tribal Eyes launch, release, and of course they can find you on your website and your social media, which we will tag when we post. And then last question, any final thoughts, words, advice, etc., you want to leave the people with before we wrap up?
Thoughts, advice. Stay positive. Stay positive. A positive attitude will fix anything. Just stay positive. Keep showing up. That's it. Stay positive. Keep showing up. You know, if you want to know how we show up, www.tribalizeshop.com to S's. Instagram at tribal.eyes. Stay positive. Keep showing up.
I love it. And I agree. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. Thank you again for joining. And I am excited for all the things that are coming up for you and Tribalize.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm, you know, so delighted to know you, and I appreciate it. And I wish you an amazing 2024 as well. Have a good day. Okay.
Thank you.